Everybody doing okay this morning? Some good? Some? I don't know. But hey, welcome again to Grace Meadows Church. We're so glad you're here. I don't know why this is. Like, I've been doing this for a little over 2 years, but I'm a little nervous this morning. So I think it would be good for me to start our time in prayer. All right, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for who you are. Help us during this morning for those kids, for those youth, for the adults in this room to see you more clearly for who you are. Father, give us your eyes today. Give us the perspective of what is genuine reality in your kingdom. Father, go with us today as we go from here. Guide our lives. Be the conviction deep within us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so we're in our King Jesus series, and we're in the fourth week. The first week, we really talked about how Jesus is king, not just he doesn't just die for our sins so that we can have salvation one day, although he does do that, but he is also a resurrected king who is reigning now. And the invitation is for us to live our lives, operate our lives from his kingdom now in this life. And in the second week, we looked at the iceberg graphic. In fact, Luke, if you go ahead and throw that iceberg graphic up there, that'd be great. Essentially, what we talked about is most kingdoms operate with that seen life above the surface, right? That you, your behaviors, you try to adapt those, and even in the Christian life, a lot of times people settle for a decision, right? I do the Romans Road thing, and I say the prayer, and then I decide to follow Jesus, when in reality, Jesus actually wants to get to the depths of our beliefs, in the heart, the conviction, what's most true about us, what's deepest within us, he wants to get to, so that everything flows from that. We looked at Luke 6 and how out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. God wants us to have our deepest convictions be Jesus. And then last week, Steve from Revive Church came and spoke and did a wonderful job looking through Acts chapter 5 and talking about how there's in our hearts, there's a tension sometimes, right? Do I when kingdoms clash, where do I head? What do I do? And so check that out if you haven't. Let's go ahead and read Colossians 3, 1 through 3 as we get started. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What I want to talk about today is perspective and reality. See, especially when kids are really little, they look at things very heavily through the lens of their own perspective, don't they? And the other day, there was a baby boy. He was crawling on the floor in our living room. And I can see in his eyes, he is crawling towards the electrical outlet. There's an electrical cord in there, and I know, parents, I know that there should not have been that. I know, I get that, all right? So I see what's happening. He's zoning in on it. He's crawling his way towards it, and so what do? I scurry over there, and I grab him so that he cannot put the electrical cord undoubtedly in his mouth like he probably wanted to do. And of course, what does he do? Screams his head off. How dare you not let me go and get what I wanted in that moment? How dare you not let me be electrocuted in this moment in time, right? Essentially, there was a deeper reality going on that he didn't quite grasp in that moment, right? All he saw was, this is what I want. You are keeping me from what it is that I want. But as we know, and we can all see, there was a deeper reality present. You better get away from that electrical cord because things not so good can happen. I think that this is the way a lot of people live our lives, is that we have desires that are ours that we operate from that undoubtedly lead to destruction. And we never learn that we can abandon our kingdom, our wants, our desires, and instead live our lives in the kingdom of God that has a much greater perspective than the one that we have. See, and that's the difference here too, by the way. It's not just that we're shifting perspectives. It's not that it's just going from our perspective to somebody else's perspective. When we live in the kingdom of God and we set our hearts and our minds on things above, we're actually seeing reality more clearly for what it is. That's the difference. See, King Jesus operates from a place of reality. He is the truth, and truth is that which corresponds to reality. He is reality. So if we are seeing things through his eyes, if we have a raised mindset,
Our heart is operating from things above. We're seeing things more clearly for what they are instead of just from our own personal viewpoint. That's what Paul is talking about here, is that when we raise to set our minds on things above, then what happens is we're actually seeing whole realities beyond our own bias, beyond our own perspective. See, in the old life, we had an earthly nature, an impulsive, natural desire that we lived from. But if Colossians 3:3 is true, that we have died, and now our life is hidden with Christ in God, then now our perspective shifts from everything being through our own lens, and instead through the lens of Jesus, which helps us to see reality a bit more clearly. If you've ever watched a football game, especially in the last several years, most of the time, the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators are no longer on field level. They're actually up high in the box seats. And in fact, even the head coaches and the players who watch film, that film is usually set up high above. See, if you're on the ground level as a coach, oftentimes there are things that could obstruct your view, can't they? A coach gets in the way, a player gets in the way, or there are players on the field that you can only see the ones closest to you because players get in the way of players. But when you can get up or raise your view, so to speak, then now you can see the whole field as it is. You can actually see what's really going on. You can actually see all the moving parts at play here. And that's the point. That's what I think Paul is speaking about, is when you get down off of your own lens and your own view, that earthly view, and you raise, now you can see things a bit more clearly. See, from a higher viewpoint, you see things much more clearly for what they actually are. When you get up high, you can see the whole field. But when you don't do that, you're looking through your own biased lens. That's what Paul is speaking into in Colossians 3. Our old life, it's that small, narrow, sinful viewpoint. And he's saying, this hinge piece in Colossians 3, you have died. Now, think about the things. You've been raised to new life, right, through Jesus Christ. Now, start to think about those things that are above. If you've ever been in an airplane, you know that if you fly during the day, at a certain point, no matter how bad the weather is, at a certain point of elevation, it's always sunny, isn't it? The point being, when you can raise your thought process enough, you know that those storms of life are short-lived. That the reality for eternity is Jesus is reigning. The light of the world is reigning. And whenever you elevate your thoughts, now you can start to align yourself to that reality. Let's keep reading. Colossians 3, starting at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all these such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, you have the things from your old life that Paul is talking about, And then you have the things from your new life, your former perspective in your kingdom and your new perspective in His kingdom. Now, I've grouped these in columns, Luke, if you don't mind to put those two columns up here. So you have your earthly nature on the left, and then you have the new self on the right. And there's two things I want to highlight here. Number one, on the left side, this is speaking really about operating from our own kingdom. That lens of the kid crawling on the floor and thinking, I want what I want when I want it, and I'm not thinking about other things. That's what's on the left. It's operating from what we want when exactly we want it. And then the second side, though, is talking about looking at things as they really are, renewed in the knowledge of God. Jesus himself says, this is life, that we would know God. That is life for us, or compassion. You know, we used to maybe look at that coworker who was late in judgment, and instead now we look at compassion. I wonder what may be going on in this person's life. Or we used to look at that woman or that man with lust, but now in our new life, I don't want to lust after that person because I would rather love them. You know, I would rather have compassion on them. I would rather see them as an individual, fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Or I used to look at death, man. I used to look at death with such fear. But now I see what's really going on, that I'm already in this kingdom of God. And Colossians 3:3 says, I've already died. My life is already hidden with Christ in God. There's nothing to fear. I see what's going on here. This is a beautiful transition into God's presence for all eternity. See, everything shifts when we move from the earthly nature to the new life in Christ. It's no longer, I want what I want when I want it. It is instead, I want what God wants when God wants it. Major difference. We're seeing things for how they really are. And the second way these two columns are different is going back to the iceberg graphic from 2 weeks ago. See, one never gets deeper than the flesh or those desires. It's operating from 1 John 2. Remember in 1 John 2, it says that all sin can basically be summed up with three things: the desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That everything is rooted from our desire. It never really gets deep enough to consider things beyond ourselves. You know, is there a conviction of a reality that goes beyond what I desire? And in our earthly nature, it never really did that. It was just, this is what I want, this is when I want it, and now let me step into that. But now Jesus is really wanting us to reevaluate our deepest held convictions, our heart. Where is it that we land? That was the ministry of Jesus. Get to the deepest parts. Again, it's not just about a decision above the surface. It's about what's deeply true within me, what it is that my heart wants. And that's why Paul is talking about, this is your earthly nature. That's what you used to operate from. But now that you see what's really going on, that the kingdom of God is at hand, it's here now, operate your life. Let your deepest convictions be from that place. There are two stories I'd like to look at that illustrate probably where most of us land here today. The first one is about Pilate, John chapter 18, if you have your Bibles, you want to move there. Jesus is on trial for his life, and the Pharisees have come to Pilate because they know, legally, that Rome is the only one who is supposed to give out capital punishment during this time. So they want Rome to do the dirty work for him. So they bring Jesus in front of Pilate, and Pilate, to his credit to some degree, he keeps trying to free Jesus. He's like, look, I don't see any fault in this guy, and I really want to let him go. There's something I like about him, and I don't want him to be harmed. So he keeps kind of trying to let him go, but doesn't take that step to actually let him go. And the Pharisees, they knew exactly where to poke at him to get him to go ahead and let Jesus be killed. John 19, verse 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. See, at the end of the day, you see this tension here, all right? So Pilate likes Jesus, all right? But at the end of the day, when there's this tension present, he operates from his earthly nature at the end of the day. I want to keep my job, man. They have poked at this thing, and I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to be in trouble with Caesar. So at the end of the day, he says, okay, go ahead and take Jesus. Why? Because he's thinking about his own desire, his own position, his own power, instead of thinking that he can operate from the kingdom of God here and be perfectly safe to just make the right decision and let the results be what they're going to be. At the end of the day, the Pharisees knew if they poked in the right spot, then what would drive Pilate was his earthly nature. And by the way, this isn't all that different than the kid crawling and going after the electrical cord. It is desire leading to destruction over and over and over again through human history. Question is, really for us, where are we operating from? You know, are we find ourselves, Luke, if you'll throw that column back up there again, do we find ourselves operating from that left side of seeing things just through the lens of my perspective? Or has there been a point, like that Colossians 3:3 that says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God," has there been a point where that began to change for you? The lens of what is reality, not just my perspective, has that changed for us? I'd say most people live their lives. I mean, I really believe this. I believe that Pilate probably would have said the sinner's prayer, to be honest. I think he probably would have. I think the Romans road would have been taught to him, and he would have gone, okay, I want to say the sinner's prayer. I want to be in heaven. That was the decision base, though, above the surface. But deep within him, what still drove him at the end of the day was that earthly nature, wanting position, wanting power, wanting authority, wanting to preserve something for himself. And the question is, when push comes to shove for us, what is it that drives us? Are we motivated by the kingdom of God and seeing reality for what it really is beyond our perspective? Or are we trying to go back and forth, like have it both ways? You know, like Pilate just kind of washes his hands clean, right? And he's trying to have it both ways, like, well, it's not my fault. At the end of the day, one of these things has to run us. Which one is it? In those moments of tension, you can really see clearly which one it is. Oh, man, he's going to kill me for telling this story, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right. So, after Hurricane Helene, you know, a lot of this church was going in and giving supplies and different things to people who really couldn't get out, right? Because so many of the roads were just decimated. So Steve Spear and I and his wife Kayla and his dog Maggie, all right, some of you all know this story. You're like, I can't believe he's telling that. Okay. We're driving, and there, like I said, there aren't really hardly any roads. We're in Burnsville, North Carolina, just outside of it, going up Pensacola. And there aren't really any roads, so good people in the neighborhood and stuff like that have been trying to, like, makeshift some roads, like dirt and bouncy and getting stuck and all this stuff. And so we're about to come up on this, like, ditch. I mean, it really looks like we're probably not going to make it through this because it's a low, bouncing ditch we're about to go under. So I'm in the passenger seat. Steve's driving. Kayla, Steve's wife, is in the back. And his dog Maggie is in the back, all right? So we're about to go down this big ditch, and right as we're about to go down, Steve, who loves his dog dearly, yells out, "Hold on, Maggie." Now, at that moment, Kayla goes, "Maggie, what about your wife?" In moments of tension, the truth comes out. Now, I have to say, with all that said, we give them such a hard time about that. With all that said, the deal was Kayla had her seatbelt on. Maggie, the dog, did not have a seatbelt on. That's why he yelled out. That's probably why he yelled out, "Hold on, Maggie." But really, think about the moments of great tension in your life. What decisions have you made in that? What have you found out really drives your life? When your job is at risk, what drives you? Do you give back into the earthly nature? Or do you know that, you know what, God, I know that there are going to be sacrifices here, maybe even consequences here, but I trust living and operating my life in your kingdom with all my convictions at its core. I just submit to you and let you handle the results at the end of the day. Juxtapose Pilate with Acts chapter 4. This is another scenario where Peter and John, they come before the Sanhedrin, and not only is their position threatened, their lives, their very lives are threatened. But after seeing the resurrected Jesus, their entire allegiance has changed for all time. It's no longer their own lens, seeing reality through their own lens. It's a deeper reality present. So when the religious leaders threaten their lives, in Acts chapter 4, verse 18, here's how they respond. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have heard, seen and heard." Now, think about that. They're like, "You guys do what you got to do, but as for us, you know, we saw this dude, Jesus, call his shot, and then saw him die brutally, and then the next time we saw him, he was not dead. You do what you got to do, but we operate from a whole new lens of seeing reality now. We see things a little bit more clearly for how they actually are, because we have died. Our life is now hidden with Christ in God, and we know that we can operate in this kingdom, and if death comes, come what may, it just doesn't matter anymore. Because we operate in this new kingdom, we have life forever in his name, and everything's going to be okay because it's perfectly safe to live your life, operate your life, let the kingdom of God motivate your life. Everything's going to be okay for all time. See, here's the critical point that we got to take home. Dying is no longer scary if you've already died. Going back to Colossians 3:3, for you've died. Your life is now hidden. And by the way, that is a verse that I think should be like at the top of our list. You know, we do like the Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you," and all that's great. But like, this is the most liberating passage, I think, in all the scriptures, is that you've already died. I mean, you don't have to have your way anymore. You don't have to have this constant battle of, "I want what I want when I want it." You've died. Your life is hidden. You don't need to be seen anymore. Christ has seen you. He's come from heaven and dwelled among you, and he's seen you, and he's given his life for you. Now be raised to this new perspective of seeing your life. You've died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Dying is no longer something to be feared anymore. Now, dying is to be feared if you haven't died yet, and you're trying to hold on dearly to everything and preserving your way and preserving your position and preserving power and all those different things. Of course, it's scary, but it's not scary if we're operating in this new life. The kingdom of God is a perfectly safe place to operate our lives from. Question is, really, deep in our bones, do we know that we can live in the kingdom of God and not just live there, but operate everything in our deepest core convictions from that place? Worship team, you guys can come back up. Here's the key point for the day. When we set our hearts and minds on things above, the depths of us begin to see things as they really are, beyond ourselves. Luke, one more time, if you don't care to throw that columns graphic back up there. Where would you say you're operating your life from? Is it that left column? Is it the old life? Or is it the new column, the new life? Now, if there's never been a point, like Colossians 3:3 says, that you have died, that you have given up your life, I don't want you to just try to operate on setting your heart and minds on things above. You got to take that invitation from Jesus to die first. But if you have done that, what does it look like for us to start? Maybe we put that column up there and we say, "God, objectively, like, am I living my life by setting my mind and my heart on things above? And if not, God, help me see through your eyes. Help me to see reality for what's really going on. Help me to see people the way that you see people. Help me to see situations the way that you see them. God, I want to have this raised perspective. I want to know what's really going on. Because at the end of the day, guys, we are still going to have times where we operate from the earthly perspective. But at the end of the day, we got to know that we don't have to live there anymore. The kingdom of God is a perfectly safe place to live, and even in those deep tensions, even in those big moments where we feel like, God, I don't know if you're going to come through in this moment. God, this seems really difficult. I could lose my job, or this conversation with my spouse, it's just going to be too hard for me to address that thing. I can't do it. Or I don't know if I can repent of that thing. Or I don't know if I can forgive that person. Or I don't know if I can live without that fear. Or whatever the case is, I want you to know that operating your life from the kingdom of God is a perfectly safe place to be. You can live into that new life. And by the way, there will be freedom on the other side of it. So, the question is, where do you live? Do you live the old perspective or the new? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reality of your word. Thank you for the grace you've given to just be able to see these things and lean into living into your kingdom right now. So, King Jesus, would you just saturate our hearts right now? If there's conviction where it's needed, I pray that you would just give it so graciously. If there's encouragement where it's needed, I pray that you would just give it so graciously as well. Father, I pray that you'll make us a church that in every decision, in every walk of life, but not even just that, but deep within us, in our deepest conviction, it's just living in your kingdom here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And Father, we pray that you'd get all the glory that you deserve. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let's worship together. If you guys need to come to the altar to pray, I'd love to pray with you. If not, worship your guts out. Let's do it together.